The G20 leaders meet in Russia in early September. There's no doubt the G20 is an important forum. Its leaders are responsible for 2/3 of the world population, 80% of global trade, and over 90% of global output. The inclusion of the major emerging economies gives it arguably more potential than its G8 cousin to positively impact the lives of the poor. And the recent London G8 is now cited as having been an important first step towards an agenda that recognises checkbooks alone will not solve the world's shared problems. So it's not immediately obvious as to whether the glass is half empty or half full ahead of the summit. I sat down with Dirk Willem Terveld, head of the International Economic Development Group at ODI, to discuss what we should expect come early September. I began by asking him whether he agreed that there hadn't been as much progress at recent government get-togethers as we might like, and how he might assess the capacity of the G20 as an effective global body.
Jonathan, I think you're absolutely right. There has been little progress made so far, or at least in the last 10 to 15 years, in global trade rule and environmental rulemaking. But when the G20 was turned into a leaders' meeting around 5 years ago in 2008, it was able to make sure that there was cooperation on economic policies. It was able to mobilize around $1.1 trillion. It was able to combat the worst of the financial crisis and restore some confidence in world markets. And it did this in coordination with emerging markets. So I would say there is some sense that the G20 can play a role globally. More generally, our research has suggested 5 areas where the G20 can make a difference. These are in identifying global governance gaps, providing policy direction. The G20 can put a spotlight on important issues. They can foster knowledge sharing, and they can help to build trust amongst various countries and develop standards. And our research has suggested these are areas where the G20 has helped. But of course, we shouldn't be too optimistic either, because it hasn't worked in all areas all the time.
So does that mean that the G20 will be taking a leaf out of the G8 book and putting away the checkbook?
I mean, yes, you're absolutely right that there has been a very noticeable change in the G8 development approach. It used to think about reallocating aid towards purposes such as for health and education. But this time, and then the London Summit was very different, and it focused much more on what a G8 can do. It focused on the G8 core policies and also more on economic themes. In this context, we should remember that the G20 has also focused on economic development policy, in particular in its development stream. And for instance, it has had a work stream as part of the development working group on taxation and domestic resource mobilization. And so this is one area where the G8 and the G20 can help each other. And hopefully that we'll see more of this theme coming back at the coming summit and afterwards. But more generally, our research points out that the G20 core policies in areas ranging from trade to financial regulation to tax, environmental, fiscal and monetary policies can have a very big impact on development. And so this is a sort of a beyond aid agenda, and it can be mutually beneficial. It can be good for both the G20 and for developing countries. To mention 2 examples, the first is trade. Here, the EU, the US, the BRICS countries, they could lower their protection worldwide in areas ranging from agriculture to solar panels to garments to services. And in doing so, they can benefit their own consumers, their own retailers, but also developing country exporters. Another example is when the G20 could think about sort of rebalancing of their savings. They should not necessarily only think about reallocating into their own countries or within the G20. They could actually reallocate their savings globally towards the most efficient and the most effective purposes. And this could well include low-income countries where there are some profitable opportunities. And so this is another area where I would say it is not costly for the G20 to do things that are beneficial for development. So it's in some sense is low-hanging fruit, although it does require some or a lot of negotiations and a lot of discussions.
So if the G20 does possess the capacity to have a significant effect on global development efforts, how do we hold it to account?
I think the G20 is a network of networks, and it calls itself the premier forum for international economic cooperation. Deliberately doesn't call itself another international institution, and it isn't another international institution. Yet we do want to know what it's doing and whether it is succeeding in what it's doing. Of course, at the moment, we have got a range of think tanks, business and civil society groupings that ensure some sort of accountability already. But in order for the G20 to have more legitimacy, it's got to do more, particularly if its development interventions need to be effective. It needs to be more legitimate. It needs to think more about mutual accountability. In order to do this, we need to have many more discussions between the G20 and governments of low-income countries or developing countries more generally. In terms of accountability of the development agenda, I think there we have already some innovation when it comes to the G20 as opposed to the G8. So when the G20 development agenda was formulated in 2010, it started something called a multi-year action plan. And there it agreed in 2010 a range of actions that would be beneficial for development. And these are publicly available, all these actions, and we can actually assess them. We can assess whether they have been undertaken. And we've actually looked into this a couple of months ago, and our conclusion was that in some areas it has undertaken a range of useful actions for development. In other areas, well, less progress has been made. But it is an example where we can hold the G20 to account and need to see much more of this, and we need to see many more discussions amongst the G20 and developing country governments about actions that the G20 can do to benefit developing countries.
There is some feeling that the poorest developing countries, particularly African countries, are unfairly left out of the G20 process. In many people's eyes, it is a forum for the wealthy, not for the poor. I asked Dirk if he thought that was a fair assessment.
Well, it depends a bit on what it's doing. And I think that the G20 can be good for both richer countries and poorer countries. And if it puts its own house in order, the G20 can raise its own growth rates and at the same time narrow the development gap. And that's sort of the narrative behind the whole development agenda at the G20, which is sort of the narrowing the development gap. And I think that G20 can be very helpful in doing. Now, you asked also about representation. And of course, we have at the moment representation of the various developing country groupings or regions in each G20 summit. But it's more or less at a sort of an ad hoc basis. And what we don't see, and what I'm actually more concerned about, is that there aren't any regular feedback meetings between the G20 and developing country ministers on certain issues. So, for example, there aren't any feedback meetings where the G20 are held accountable to developing country governments for their actions, and vice versa. There aren't that many meetings where the developing country governments can put agenda items on the agenda of the G20.
And finally, how should we judge the success, or otherwise, of this year's summit?
I think my main expectation for the upcoming summit is that there will be a credible G20 and development outlook, which combines the best of the G20's core areas and the interest of developing countries. And here I mean there will be discussions about how in the future the G20 can ensure a development-friendly global rebalancing of international savings, how the G20 can put in place development-friendly core policies in the area of tax, trade, finance, and environment, so that that can help developing countries. So in that sense, it should continue a move towards a beyond aid agenda, so where the G20's core policies can make a very useful contribution to development. So in that sense, what I'm hoping is that there's going to be a much better integration of three of the G20's work streams. And these are, first of all, work stream on strong, sustainable and balanced growth. The second is on financing for investment. And the third one is on development. And I would hope that these three, if you lock them together, that could help both the G20 countries and developing countries. So if we can see this locking together of the development and core G20 policies much more in the future, that will be very, very useful. So I hope that that's what we're going to get in the upcoming summit in St. Petersburg in Russia.